Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Radio Free Credit Union Show with your hosts, Jason Dines and Troy Hall. Call in live to talk, 646-915-9274. Welcome, and we hope you enjoy the show.
Hey, Troy, how are you doing this morning, buddy?
I'm doing fine. How are you, sir?
Great. I'm great. I'm looking forward to a big show, as I know you are, too.
Absolutely. And thanks for jazzing it up there a little bit, man.
Good morning on the East Coast, good afternoon on the West Coast, and a great day to you wherever you may be across this wonderful country of ours. My name is Jason Dias. You've found the Radio Free Credit Union Show on your internet radio dot. It is radio, it is free, and it is all about what is hot and happening in the credit union world, coming to you live from the Radio Free offices here in New Braunfels, Texas, Republic thereof, and of course, as always, happy to be rejoined again by the assistant to the host, the COO, the Chief Operating Officer of Big Old Bad South Carolina Federal Credit Union, our good buddy, Troy Hall. What's up, my man?
Hey, man. I'm coming to you from Charlotte, North Carolina today.
So Troy is doing a little remote, one state north of the secession state up in North Carolina. What's been going on with you this week?
I am attending the First Carolina Corporate Credit Union ALM conference and just came out of an exciting session presented by Steve Rick, who's the senior economist for CUNA and affiliates. He's in their economics and statistics department. He is such a dynamic speaker. If anyone gets an opportunity to hear him, it would be really great. And I know we've got an action-packed show today, Jason, but can I share with you at least three things he told us?
Well, I think you better, because the audience wants to know what you heard, so tell us.
Yeah, so three things that he told us. First of all, I want to start with the first rule of economics. The first rule of economics, for every economist, there is an equal and opposite economist. So I thought that was really interesting, because you get one viewpoint, you get another viewpoint. But basically, three things that he told us that is important for credit unions. One is that currently consumers are deleveraging themselves, which means that they are taking a look at whether or not they should put their money in a 1% savings, or should they pay off that 12 to 20% credit card? And right. The overwhelming answer is they're paying off the credit card. And that is not necessarily a good idea, because what is going to happen for the first time for many decades is that the average rate of loan growth for credit unions nationally is going to be minus 1%.
Wow.
And I mean, just, it was just overwhelming, you know. You kind of know this, some of this stuff, but then when you start to see the data and you hear it again, it just becomes overwhelming. And part of what we are experiencing in this economy is this self-leveling, this trying to take care of itself program with the property values. And also, he said staggeringly that unemployment, it will take 5 to 6 years for unemployment to self-correct itself, which I thought was incredible, because even though the national statistic is down to 9.5%, the underemployed, which are those folks who work full-time to part-time, or those folks who have become completely discouraged about even
looking for a job. And don't even try
to
apply for jobs. Exactly. They're not even looking anymore.
Right. Is at 17%.
Well, and that's what I love about the honesty of an economist like that. The opposite side of that is that people have made – behaviorally within their own families modifications where they don't have to have potentially both the father and the mother out there doing the, you know, the two income earnings to make ends meet. It shows up in the balance sheet at Olive Garden and Outback, but I think you and I remember when we first started doing the show with guests, we'd always ask them, do you think it's going to be a recovery that looks like a roller coaster where you go up, you know, real fast? Or is it going to look more like, you know, the sidewalk in your neighborhood that maybe gently slopes up and gets to a high point of elevation sometime in the, you know, 2013, 2014 time frame? And honestly, Troy, if somebody had hired me to give my thoughts on this from a purely economic, historical standpoint, I would agree with the latter that it's going to take a little bit of time, because the session or whatever we're talking about here, it's really not political. There's going to be a huge political landscape shift, I think, in November, but it's really more generational. I can tell you from personal experience, I've been getting more calls from vendors recently. It seems like things are coming back to life a little bit, but yeah, I think the self-leveling, as he referred to it, is probably going to continue for the next solid 3 or 4 years. I think that's realistic.
Yeah. He says that really the indication that we could potentially have another double dip is still possible.
It's possible
that can actually happen. It just, it will depend on whether the what position the Fed takes. Will they take a stimulus approach or will they take an austere approach? And that will really make some of the difference as to what happens. So,
and again,
not the economics.
I know economics on the radio can be about as exciting as, in my opinion, soccer on the TV. No offense to all of our soccer fans out there. But from an economic standpoint, though, the only thing that I would say, had I been in the room and had it been kind of a roundtable thing, is I don't think you can have both. If people are, in fact, lowering their debt, if the economy does go into another kind of recessionary mode, it's not going to hit people as hard because they're not trying to make that, you know, $300 discovery payment because it doesn't exist. And so now mom's not working. So it's not a big deal. And they, you know, Americans find a way to deal with the economy and the history that is dealt to them. And that's one reason I love doing the show, because today, speaking of America, we have representation in every single time zone in the lower 48. We've got Adam Van Cleve with Chetco Federal Credit Union and the National Youth Involvement Board out in Oregon. We've got Rebecca Isaacs with the Credit Union Association of New Mexico, and she is the chairperson of the National Youth Involvement Board, henceforth referred to as the NYIB. They're going to their strategic planning session in Pittsburgh, so they'll both be flying over the central time zone where I'm doing this show, and they'll be landing in Pittsburgh, I think, Sunday or Monday. And in Pennsylvania, we have another guest for our After the Break part of the show, Carol Fastridge with AmeriChoice Federal Credit Union. And of course, last but not least, it is so good to have our co-host back, Troy Hall. And so we're going to get to our guests right after this. All right. Well, Troy, are you looking forward to a good weekend?
I am very much looking forward to the weekend.
I know you are. I know you've been working well. Our next two guests are actually going to be going to work, probably, if you think about it, this weekend. We are very, very happy to be joined on the show by Rebecca Isaacs. She's with the Credit Union Association of New Mexico, and she is the chairperson, the head honcho of the National Youth Involvement Board, the NYIB. Good morning, Rebecca. How are you?
Good morning. Good, thanks.
And, of course, the Northwest rep for the NYIB, Mr. Adam Van Cleve. How are you, sir, up in Oregon?
Pretty fantastic.
All right, great. I want to start, ladies, first. First question to you, Rebecca. I may not be, you know, Patrick Adams or Denise Whitmore, but since 2002, I have attended well over 300 credit union events as a speaker, and I'll be very, very honest with you. It wasn't until I started working with Adam that I really got to understand what the NYIB is all about. For somebody like me who may not know what the NYIB is all about, what would you say to them? What is the NYIB about, and why is it important to credit unions?
Well, the National Youth Involvement Board is for anyone in credit unions that's either marketing to youth or young members or actually doing financial presentations in schools on behalf of their credit union. We offer online reporting, which is the only one of its kind for financial presentations, and there's also document sharing on our website. It's a free service, so anyone that's doing these types of things in credit unions should definitely be on the website and be accessing the listserv. And then we also offer a conference every year to educate those people that are reaching and teaching youth in credit unions. And we also do advocacy in part of the whole group, as well as some development training for those people.
Very cool.
Yes. Adam, how did you get involved in the NYIB?
I first got involved when I first started at the credit union in Oregon. And it was actually something I got in the mail. I got a flyer for the NYIB in the mail, and I started looking at it. I'm like, wow, this is perfect. This is what we need. You know, we were, at that point, we were actually pretty heavily involved with youth in our credit union, and I just needed more. I needed something. There was no conference to go to for me to learn more and to network with people, and I saw that, and I'm like, wow. And so my first year was in 2007, I believe, in San Antonio, and I've been every year since.
Now,
that's very cool.
Yeah, it is very cool. And just for people that are listening, you know, we had four really awesome concerts for financial literacy last week in Florida. A lot of people may not know this, but Adam Van Cleve, as the Youth Operations Coordinator at Chetco Federal Credit Union, is actually the co-creator of the concerts for financial literacy, which to date have reached over 10,000 young people across the country talking about the difference between banks and credit unions. Rebecca, you're going into strategic planning next week in Pittsburgh, as we said earlier. What are some of the things you guys are going to be focused on in your planning session?
I think that this year it's really going to be important, like you were just saying, that you've been in credit unions for and doing speaking and you don't know about the NYIB. I'd really like to change that. Of course, now with social media and all these things, that's going to be a big portion of our planning session to really get out there and let people know that there is a resource for them. Like Adam was saying, too, he just didn't know that we were out there. And I, as part of my job here at the association, I talk to credit unions on the phone on a daily basis from around the country and also in Canada, and they just don't know that this resource is available for them. So I really think that spreading the word is going to be a big platform for us this year.
Yeah, and it seems like it's really interesting that it really becomes a viral word that you need to share. It really isn't. I mean, you could probably do lots of advertising or try to get some other types of materials out, but really it becomes a word of mouth is really the best way to get this across. Would you agree?
I definitely agree. And,
Absolutely.
You know, there's really great things going on all over the country. Part of the economic need, not only for adults, but also for high school students and kids younger than that, people are just interested, you know, right now in money. Of course, we all know the average age of credit unions is rising, so there's a need for this in every credit union, and it's a free service, so, you know, why not utilize us?
Well, one of the things that, you know, even though you talk about the need to get your message out and your brand out there, it has not all been without success. You guys won a very, very prestigious award, the 2011 Herb Wegner Award, one of the most prestigious awards you can earn in our credit union marketplace. And so I want to ask Rebecca first, and I would ask Adam to follow up. Tell us about the award, when you're going to get it, and why you think the NYIB won it.
Well, we received the award at the 2011 GAC conference in D.C. in February. I really just have to give this and give props to our network of people. In 2009 alone, reported on our website, 413,460 students were reached from credit union people going out and doing financial presentations.
Wow.
And that was from 476 presenters doing 13,577 presentations. And those are only from the people that reported. So credit unions are doing amazing things. People in credit unions that are out talking to youth, marketing to them, reaching them through financial presentations, they're who deserves this award.
Wow. And Adam?
There's a few things with NYIB. It's been quite interesting. I've been learning it a lot more about the organization, I mean, and its history in the recent past. And I think it's been kind of, I'd like to say, a long time coming. It's an amazing organization to be a part of. And one of the really cool things about it is its structure, and it's a very self-sustaining sort of organization where through fundraising and efforts and such things like that it's kind of, in talking to people, they said, you know, NYIB is sort of kind of a model for a lot of organizations, their organizational structure and our volunteer board and so forth. And it's just been kind of interesting to hear about the history. One of the things that was kind of intriguing to me is I realized recently when I was at the development educator training in Bainbridge Island, Washington, the history of how NYIB was created and how the development educator program was created. It was actually it was created through the NYIB. And I realized
something I did not know, which is something I did not know. When I get emails from credit union professionals, a lot of times it has that CUDE, which you have now after your name. And I learned that you guys basically started that. I did not know that about the NYIB.
Yeah, I didn't originally. And mainly one of the things I learned is, you know, NYIB was a launching point for a lot of people's careers. And it's just kind of cool to be a part of an organization that is actually, it has been so so strong in so many people's careers and lives. Those names that we know out there in the credit union world that we all look up to, you know, it's the NYIB was a big part of their beginning. And so it's kind of cool. Kind of gives you something to look forward to, wondering, you know, there's a future ahead for young credit union professionals and the whole development of it all. As being a part of the executive committee, I've met many people that I would not have met before, and the things that we're doing with the NYIB, we're doing some amazing things for kids. So it's a great, great organization to be a part of.
I'll tell you what, we are going to keep up with you guys. I know Troy he meticulously takes notes during the show. I'm thinking, honestly, Rebecca, it would be great maybe to have you come back from time to time and keep us apprised of what you guys are up to. I just think what y'all are doing is, in many ways, modeling what credit unions need to do. You need to actively get out there and reach out to that generation next and do it in a thoughtful, creative way, because obviously they're all facing the same pressures of finding a way to replace those aging depositors with young borrowers. And on behalf of myself, to you, Rebecca, and Adam, I hope you guys have a great time out in Pittsburgh, have a lot of productive time, and we want to wish you continued success, and thank you so much for being on the show today with us.
Yeah, thank you very much for being here. Thanks.
We'll talk to y'all soon. Man, I just... You know, Troy, I'm not Patrick Adams. I'm not some of these guys that you just see at every single one of these credit union events. But, I mean, I've been to a lot of credit union stuff. And working with Adam, who is a very, very young guy, I think he may be 24 now, has really opened my eyes to there's a lot of good stuff going on out there in the youth part of our marketplace.
Yeah, there is. And I think the other thing that I was going to actually follow up with another question, but I wasn't really sure of our timing was, I was going to say, so how old do you have to be, or is there a certain age when you have to stop being part of the NYIB?
I don't know. We'll have to get them back on the air and find out. I'm pretty sure you and I are both way over whatever limit that might be. But, I wanted to start the show by talking about, you know, a lot of good stuff going out there in terms of, you know, getting that next generation of credit union leadership inspired and engaged, and folks like Rebecca and Adam and everybody at the NYIB and a lot of other great organizations are doing their part. But next, I want to go out east to the Keystone State, the state of Pennsylvania, and talk about conferences. We talk about the fact that people are traveling less. I think one of the greatest things credit unions can continue to do is from one another. And so I think it makes sense to find out from credit unions that are having a lot of success in these very transformational times, to ask them exactly how they're doing. And so we're very, very happy to welcome to the Radio Free Air Carol Fastrit. She is the Vice President of Marketing at AmeriChoice Federal Credit Union. How are you this morning?
I am marvelous. Thank you very much.
Oh. Our studio audience, I know.
Carol, it's so wonderful. I mean, you got an applause. I mean, that's great.
You know, we only pay the studio audience $3 a show to be in here, and they forgot to clap for Adam and for Rebecca. But listen, tell us a little bit about this. I mean, if anybody's paying attention, you guys are on the front page of the CU Journal. You're in the CU Times. You had all those concert events at the high schools last year and this year, and you guys are racking up the hardware with the work. Tell us a little bit about the hardware you're bringing back to Mechanicsburg, PA.
Yeah, thanks so much for having me on the show today. Before I can answer, I would love to just throw a plug out for NYIB. Our marketing team participates with NYIB.
And
we have a tremendous youth literacy and youth initiative here at the credit union, and it's really the place to be. And so if you have not looked into NYIB or just participating in one of their events, I would highly, highly recommend it. It's just a fabulous organization, and they're doing great things for kids. So with that being said, again, I appreciate you having me on the show. And, Yeah, AmeriChoice is, we're very, very excited about all of the awards that we've been winning. The marketing team that I work with is just young and energetic, and they're just constantly coming up with great new innovative ideas. And so they make my job very, very easy.
Okay, well, you know, now if I were to ask Jason this question about the Mirror Award, and I would say, you know, like Mirror, Mirror on the Wall, he would say he was the fairest of all. But since he knows you are the fairest of all, so tell our listeners why you won the award.
Well, actually, if you go out onto our Facebook page, all of the marketing team is in a golden mirror, and so you can determine who is the fairest of them all by yourself. But we actually won two Q's Golden Mirror Awards, and both of them were for a direct mail marketing piece, one for a money market campaign that we did earlier in 2009, and one for a program that we did surrounding auto loans in the fall. And then earlier in the year, we won a Diamond Award for our new member videos that we have featuring one of our marketing team members, Tony Montgomery, who's really our spokesperson. So, yeah, it's been a very exciting year for AmeriChoice.
Well, like I said, you guys have been, you're going to have, the only downside is you're probably going to have to go into your capital fund to build some new cabinets to put all these awards. I don't know if Kip makes you put them all in his office or if, you know, if Kim insists they all go in her office. But with your perspective as somebody who works, obviously very successfully, in marketing the AmeriChoice brand, I think we're going through such transformational times right now in the credit union marketplace. What would your advice be to other credit unions on how they can not only be strong and viable as we get into the midpoint of the next decade, being here in 2020, what would be your advice to be to other credit unions on how they can start, you know, earning the same kind of recognition and awards that you guys are?
Well, you know, I think it's just, it's really about innovation, and it's really about meeting your members where they are. We have you referred to earlier, us being on the front of the Credit Union Journal, and what put us there was a great campaign that we have called My AmeriChoice Story. And that's a perfect example of meeting our members where they are. And it involves social media. It involves the web. It involves direct mail. It involves traditional as well as youth-centered marketing. And so I think my best advice would be that you really have to diversify what you're doing, because social media alone and electronic media is not going to hit your entire marketing or your entire
good point
group, you know, proposed person, whether it's a member or non-member. And traditional media is not going to do it alone either anymore. So I think that you have to really look at who your target market is and then really meet them where they are. And again, you know, I have a really young team, and they're very innovative, and sometimes you have to go out of the box. Our CEO is very supportive in going out of the box, and that makes it very easy to do my job.
Yeah, and I think that, Carol, one of the important things that you just mentioned there at the end is the support that you get from senior management in order to be able to do that, because you have the freedom, because sometimes going out of the box is making a mistake. And sometimes you have to have the freedom to be able to make a mistake. And you have to be able to know that you have the support from senior management, that they're not just going to, you know, create this environment in where you have no freedom to be able to do something creative, because that's the whole creative process. It's not about getting it right every single time. It's about the freedom to be able to do something that's different. So definitely that's really great to hear that your CEO is supportive of you, and it does make things so much easier. I can tell you that from my perspective completely.
Yeah, I think you hit the nail on the head, Troy. It really is about having the freedom to make mistakes, because, you know, we come up with some pretty crazy things, and our CEO he's very happy to let us, you know, do as much as we can, and a lot of time is there's been a lot of years that we haven't won CUE's Golden Mirror Awards, so you can see that, you know, our innovative ideas don't always work, but that's what marketing is all about.
And I would also suspect that your innovation is not about winning the award. It just happens to be what comes as a part of the process. Because the things that you talked about earlier and the things that I've read from your publications and materials and information is that, you know, you really were gearing programs specifically to your targeted audience, to your market, and you were attempting to reach them. And it's just that you happen to have done a good job of telling that story into the marketplace where that allows these awards to then be known so that other people who are not only listening to the show but also reading those publications can say, hey, that could be a best practice for us. You know, let's check that out and see how it goes.
Yeah, I totally agree. Actually, the new member welcome videos came, you know, as a solution to one of the problems that we were having, and that is building relationships with our members. And you know, we didn't set out to win an award. We won a Diamond Award from CUNA, but, you know, we set out to solve a problem in a creative way that met our members where they are, and that is in the electronic world. And it has paid off 10,000-fold in regard to building the relationships. And, by the way, the Diamond Award was just the icing on the cake.
Well, it sounds like you guys have really got your shop running wire-tight, as we used to say back in my airborne infantry days. And we want to wish you continued success out in Mechanicsburg, out in Pennsylvania, with AmeriChoice. And we obviously want to thank you so, so much for giving up some of your Friday to talk to two guys like us.
Yeah, thanks, Carol.
Thanks so much. I hope you all have a great day and a super weekend.
All yeah,
right.
Thank you.
Go Steelers.
Yeah.
Beat the Titans.
That's right.
We'll talk to you soon, Carol.
All right, bye-bye.
Bye.
Oh, now the students are on.
I'm telling you, you know, Jason, once you get on it, man, you really know how to, you would think this was like your first show that you've done, you know? I mean, this is good, though.
Well, with 2 minutes left to go on the show, I'm actually glad we have a little extra time here. First of all, I want to suggest everybody go out there and follow AmeriChoice on their fan page at AmeriChoice on Facebook, because it is a beautiful picture, and I'm not going to make a selection here on who the fairest of them all is, but somebody else can decide, because it's going to be a epic four-way battle between the lovely and gracious Kim Bindle, Marianne Nguyen, Carol Astrid, and Tony Montgomery, the whole team out there at AmeriChoice. And honestly, I've worked with them. We've done a lot of concerts with them out of high school branches. They're really, really doing a great, great job. Now, Troy, I want to ask you a bit of sage advice for me. We are embarking on, believe it or not, next week is our last show in September. And then we'll move into October, and I think October is going to be one of the most important months for me professionally that I've had maybe since January of 1991 when I was deployed to the first Gulf War. Just a chance to test myself and see if I'm up to these challenges. And I'm going out to speak at the New Jersey Credit Union League show, the Credit Union Association of Oregon, another big, big credit union out in Utah. I want to be able to talk about all the stuff you and I talk about so passionately off the air in a way that doesn't sound like I know it all, because I don't. And, I mean, should it be informational, that here's what's happening in the marketplace, or with a minute left in the show, Troy, should it be that come the Jesus moment that, hey, look, it's time for your credit union to decide whether you want to be part of the new banking marketplace or a victim of it? What would your advice to me be?
My advice to you in the less than 30 seconds I have is that you have to be true to the passion that you have. The one thing about this is that when you are on your topic, you are on it. And so it has to be a no-holds-bar. Don't apologize for your message. You want to give your message out there directly. Get to your key speaking points. And if what your intention is to encourage and really demonstrate to other credit unions that there are things maybe beyond their scope of original thinking, then challenge them for that particular thinking. And you do it so creatively through your music, through your slides, through your humor. And I think that it will be a very well-received show if you are true to yourself and remember your passion and bring your passion to the message. You're going to sell it. It's going to be good.
Well, I'm looking forward to it. I know you'll be there with me every step of the way, following up every Friday here on the Radio Free Show. And with 10 seconds left, my friend, you have a great, great weekend. Thank you to all of our guests. Check out the CU Water Cooler Symposium. There are up to 100 attendees at their show in October, so go check them out. Thank you guys so much, and we will see you same place, same faces next Friday.
You got it.
Oh, ouch.